Well, good morning. Good morning. So good to be here in church. I'm excited to come around the Word today. But if we haven't met before, I'm Bevan. It's nice to meet you. I'm from Reside Church. Yeah. I'm part of the Reside Men. Yes, that's true. Well, today my message is called Don't Shrink Back. And I'm excited for us to come around this word today. But, you know, we can have different reactions to certain situations that pop up in our lives. You might be familiar with the idea of fight, flight, or freeze. Me, I'm a freeze kind of person. You know, I always say if someone was breaking into my house, I'd probably just stay in bed and pretend I was still sleeping. You know, if they came into the room, I'd still just pretend like I was sleeping. It's kind of like just... but I know other people that would be the complete opposite. It's like they hear a little rustle at the door and they're like up with a baseball bat. Any of those people here today? That's certainly not me. But when I was thinking about this, it reminded me of a story from when I was a little bit younger. I was probably about 21 years old and hadn't long been living out of home, out of my parents, and there was a knock at the door, and it was a door-to-door electricity salesperson. And I don't know if you've ever met one of these people, but the first thing they do is, can I see one of your bills? So I was like, okay, sure, whatever. And then they're like, what's your NMI number? And at this point, I'm starting to get a little bit comfortable, so she was like, she just needs to do a little bit of paperwork. So I'm like, I just have to go do a couple of things. So I just like ducked back inside and basically hid. About 15 minutes later, she's like yelling out from the door, like, are you okay? Are you okay? So eventually I had to put my big boy pants on and go face her again. By that point, she'd already signed me up for the company that she was a part of. But I'm very thankful for 14-day cooling off periods in Australia. But the lesson in this for me was that some things don't always come easy or natural. And I think the initial reaction, the initial flinch that we have is involuntary, but what we choose to do next isn't. And I think the same can be true for the way that we outwork our faith. Now, we all have the ability to outwork our faith because the ability comes from God's grace. And the daily decisions of faithfulness that we make to Him is how we take a hold of it for our lives. So before we come into our key text for today, let's pray as we come around the Word. So Lord, we thank You for Your love for each of us. And we pray today that as we open Your Word, that You would speak to our hearts. God, that You would tell us exactly what we need to know today for each of us as individuals. And God, we open our hearts to You and we ask that You would speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 35. It says, so do not throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now, when I read this scripture, I find that it's equally parts challenging as it is encouraging to me. And this morning, as we unpack this, you may not be the kind of person who usually likes to take challenges head on. But know that we don't walk our walk of faith in our own strength, but we walk it out by the grace of God. You know, we might find parts of this challenging, but through God's grace, we are strengthened, we are empowered, and we are guided toward His perfect will for us. You know, it's through moments of challenge that our faith is deepened, that we are refined as people to become more like Jesus. So looking at this passage, the first point that I want to draw out today is that we can have confidence. It says, do not throw away your confidence. You know, when the scripture says, don't throw away your confidence, What is it talking about? Confidence in what exactly? Well, it's not confidence in ourselves. It's not confidence in our own ability, not confidence in others or the people around us or in specific opportunities or situations that we find ourselves in. But it's talking about confidence in the only one who is worthy of our confidence, in God, whose grace is sufficient for us to restore us into relationship with him and to empower us to live a life that brings glory to his name. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, we can have confidence in God's grace for us. Firstly, to save us, but also to empower us and to guide us into a spirit-led and spirit-filled life that brings glory to his name. I notice that in this scripture, it says we approach God with our confidence so that. When we approach God with confidence, when we put our confidence in him, when we make it a daily practice of approaching him and trusting him, then we can be sure that when we need mercy, that when we need grace, that when we need help, that when we need strength, that we will find it in him at just the right time. Now, just for a moment this morning, I want us to think about this and workshop this for us for a moment. You know, where is it that I place my confidence? Now, where do I place my confidence? Now, when something happens in my life that I don't understand, maybe that rocks me a little bit, maybe it's something that feels like an injustice, where is it that I turn to? You know, do I turn to a trusted friend? Do I turn to a parent, a spouse, a pastor? You know, these people and relationships that we have, they're important and they're essential to us. But I think that sometimes these relationships can become a greater source of confidence than the confidence that we have in God. You know, God should be the one that we turn to first. He should be the one that we put our confidence in. And it starts first in the everyday things. Because there's a difference between confidence that comes from man and confidence from God. Now, when we put our confidence in people, when we put our confidence in things, it can be easily taken away. But when we put our confidence in God, it cannot easily be removed. Psalm 118, verse 14 says, "The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my defense because I've made a decision to make him that. I've made a decision to make God my strength, to make God my defense. I've decided to put my trust in him and him alone. I've decided to put my confidence in him. And because I have done that, he has become my salvation. He has become my rock, the steadfast foundation that I stand upon." You know, I can have confidence. You can have confidence this morning in the only one who is worthy of our confidence. Now, the second thing from this passage today is a call to live by faith. It says, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." Now, what does it mean to live by faith? Now, I think if we take a look at this passage, there's three things that are right there. The first, to live by faith, is to put our confidence in God alone. You know, it says, do not throw away your confidence. The second is that we outwork our trust in God with endurance and perseverance. Now, it says you need to persevere. And the third is to take consistent steps of daily faithfulness. It says, my righteous one will live by faith in every step, in every moment. Now, I think when it comes to the idea of living by faith, we can often think about this in the context of outrageous acts of faith. You know, I think back to when I was a teenager, when I grew up going to youth ministry, and there was a sermon illustration that I heard over and over and over again, and maybe you've heard it before, but it basically goes that there was a woman and she was at the petrol station putting petrol in her car. And as she was doing it, she felt a prompting from God saying, go inside and do a headstand next to the vending machine. Now, that's a bit outrageous. It sounds a little bit silly, but as she was filling her car up with petrol, she couldn't shake the feeling. So, you know, she walks inside getting ready to pay and she still can't shake the feeling. So she goes and does a headstand next to the vending machine. And what happens is there was another lady in the store who was at her wit's end and she was like, God, I need you to send me a sign if you're real. You need to make someone do a headstand next to the vending machine. It's crazy, you're right. And I heard this illustration over and over again as a teenager. And here's the thing. The story might be true. The story might not be true. I had a good look for a source and I can't find like a definitive one. But it doesn't invoke in us a response to desire the same things for our lives. But I think it can also give us a misunderstanding of what outworking faith looks like for us in our everyday. Because living by faith is not one day deciding because you feel like God's telling you to do a headstand next to the vending machine. But living by faith is the daily decision to live a life in the will of God. A daily decision to listen to his direction. A daily decision to live in devotion to him. You know, we can be led to believe that true acts of faith are grand gestures. Big, extravagant, outrageous things. But acts of faith can be simply everyday actions of obedience to God. Now, even in the moments where we don't want to, when everything is pulling us away from God, choosing to trust in him, choosing to put our confidence in him every day. Now, in the next chapter of Hebrews, we see in Hebrews 11, we see many examples of people from throughout the Bible who did things by faith. And some of them did really, really big things, but some of them did everyday things. You know, we see that Noah built an ark. That's a pretty big thing. But we see that Abel stewarded what God had given to him well and brought a pleasing offering to God. We see Moses lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But then we see Rahab show hospitality to strangers. All of these examples in Hebrews 11, through the people's obedience to God, not by their own talents, not in their own strength, not by their own ability, and not in the fulfillment of their own personal desires, but by faith, they outwork their faithfulness to God. By faith, they outwork their obedience to God. And in verse 39 of the same chapter, it says, these were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. You know, when we read these stories from the Bible, know that their story and our story is the same. It's part of the same story. You know, these individuals that we read about, they weren't looking for immediate gratification. They weren't looking for the big moment, but they put their hope in an eternity with God, put their hope in a God who always was, always, and always will be. They put their hope in relationship with God forever. And you know, that's something that we get to do together. This story of faith that we read about is one that we get to be a part of. You know, and every day we have the opportunity to join them in their faithfulness. And together we receive eternity with God. We can have confidence in God. We can persevere in our faith and commit to everyday faithfulness. You know, in the passage in Hebrews 10, the call to live by faith is accompanied by a warning to not shrink back. You know, and I don't bring this out today as a heavy-handed moment, but I think it's worth bringing our attention to the question, am I shrinking back? Is there an area in my faith, in my life, that I'm shrinking back? You know, so what could shrinking back look like for us? Maybe it's prioritizing other things in our lives before God. Maybe it's choosing not to engage in Christian fellowship and community with the people God has placed in our lives. Maybe it's that we look for answers to our struggles through methods and ways that don't honor God. Maybe we're starting to forgo the biblical practices that we once held dear. You know, when we think about this question, am I shrinking back? I want to encourage you that we don't answer this by observing how we feel. We don't answer this by observing our emotions, but we observe this by looking at an ordinary week in our lives and asking, what steps of faith am I taking each day? What steps of commitment to God am I taking each day? Now, the terminology used in this passage for shrinking back is what's considered middle voice. And that indicates that there is intent behind the action. Now, in the context of this is the idea of shrinking back is like retreating in battle, or the furling or rolling up of sails on a boat to make it stop. To shrink back is an active decision that we make. To shrink back is an active decision that we make, but it makes me think that if shrinking back is an active decision that we make, then persevering in our faith is also an active decision that we make. It's an everyday perseverance to commit to daily acts of faith, daily practices of faithfulness to God. If we read a little bit earlier in Hebrews 10 from verse 32, the writer says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you had endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Now, it's not a very exciting scripture to read, but it's an encouragement to everybody who reads this that you've withstood opposition before. And God remained faithful then, and he will remain faithful now. You know, for us as a church, we've seen God's faithfulness before. After 20 years of moving around, not having building a permanent home for us as a church, God brought us to a place that we've remained for 20 more years. God has been faithful to us before, and he will be faithful again. You know, we've seen family members return back to faith after a long time away. God has been faithful before, and he will be faithful again. Now, we can trust that God will be faithful again because we've seen his faithfulness before. So to put it simply today, the antidote to shrinking back is to earnestly seek God. Earnestly seek God. Now, as part of our mission statement as a church, that we would be a people who are wholly devoted to him. You know, not partly devoted to him, but wholly devoted to him. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. When we approach God with our faithfulness, when we earnestly seek him, he rewards us. He rewards us. So we can have confidence. We're called to live by faith and be encouraged this morning that we do not belong to those who shrink back. You know, the writer encourages us that we are not those who shrink back, but those who have faith. You know, it says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. You know, this call is for us to not shrink back. But then we're encouraged that because of our faith, if we continue to press into God, we will not shrink back. Because God's grace upon our lives, it empowers us and it draws us toward faith, trust, grace, and confidence in him. So how do I not shrink back? How do I not shrink back? And I love the example of Daniel and his consistent faith. Now, we see in Daniel chapter 6 that the leader of the time is convinced by some of his counterparts to sign an edict that nobody is to pray to any other god or human for 30 days or be thrown into the lion's den. I don't think I'd want to get thrown into a lion's den. That would probably invoke my freeze, I think. I don't know. How would the fight people fare in that moment, do you think? Do you think you could take on a lion? No? But we read in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." When I look at the story of Daniel, he's remembered for the lion's den. You know, Daniel's the guy that, because of his faith, he survived a night in the lion's den. But the den wasn't the place that his faith was formed. It was the place where it was exercised. But in this passage, it says, just as he had done before. So how does Daniel respond in this moment? The king signed an edict to say, you can't pray to your God anymore. You know, we think about fight, flight, or freeze, and I can imagine that in this moment, it probably invoked something in Daniel. I'd be quite taken aback. You know, it wouldn't have been expected. But the decision that Daniel made for how he would respond in that moment wasn't made in that moment. It was made in the days, the weeks, and the months leading up to it. The decree wasn't the thing that pushed Daniel to a posture of faith. He didn't turn to faith because he found himself against opposition, because he found himself in a difficult situation. The decree arrived and it found Daniel praying. It found Daniel leaning into faith. It found Daniel in acts of daily obedience. And I think in a similar way, Daniel's situation didn't turn him toward desperation. It didn't turn him towards opposition or aggression. You know, he didn't go and protest the king. But Daniel's confidence was in God, so he simply did what he always did. And he turned to God. Now, with Daniel, the part of the story that we like to tell is the story in the lion's den. Because he was spared a night with the lions, that's pretty spectacular. That truly is a miracle moment. But the true act of faith was Daniel choosing to pray three times a day on hundreds and thousands of ordinary days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when there wasn't even anything at stake. You know, for us, we may remember the moment, but know that God is in the habit. Now, we may remember the moment, but God is in the habit. Because if the habit isn't there before the pressure comes, then the pressure won't form it. Now, if we come back to the story of the woman who did the headstand at the vending machine, I think we can feel the pressure that not shrinking back can look like that. But that's not a starting point. You know, God might call you tomorrow to do a headstand next to a vending machine. But it's not the starting point of our faith. That's not the moment in time that our faith becomes real. It's a moment that's built from everyday faithfulness. That when the moment arises for the big dream, that when the moment arises for us to fully press into God and do something that requires our complete trust in Him, that we outwork our faith from the confidence that we've placed in God time and time again, all through the days, through the weeks, and through the months and years. And I'm going to invite the team to join me this morning. You know, for Daniel, it said, as he had done before. And for us, can I encourage you that there's a moment for us that is as they had done before. Choosing not to shrink back, but persevering with an everyday faith that is steadfast. You know, that as a church, that as a body, that we would see a family sees a son come home to Jesus after a long time because they prayed for him at the same kitchen table that he returned to as they had done before. You know, that someone gets a bad report, but they're found with worship on their lips, not because they're stronger than anybody else, but because on every ordinary Sunday, they worshiped God with everything that they had, as they had done before. You know, that we see a small group carry someone through a tumultuous time in their lives, not because they step up all of a sudden, but because they've been showing up for each other for the years prior, as they had done before. Now, none of these moments are found out of a grand gesture, but out of a posture of consistent faithfulness, consistent trust and reliance on God. Because after time, it stops being a decision that is made and it starts to become who we are. It starts to become who we are. Now, a question for us today is, what am I doing today that I'll be glad that I had done before? Now, what am I doing today that I'll be glad that I had done before? Now, when we outwork our faith in the little things, then we can outwork our faith in the big things. So what is our response to this today? Be encouraged this morning from Hebrews chapter 12, the next chapter, from verse 1 that says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Now, how do we step forward in faith? How do we not shrink back? Well, we throw off distraction. We throw off hindrance. And we run. We don't walk. We run toward God's plan for us, fixing our eyes upon him and remembering the faithfulness of Jesus, our Savior, that gives us the perseverance to not grow weary and lose heart. Now, we remember Jesus so that we will not shrink back. Now, can I invite you to stand this morning? Because what is our commitment today in response to not shrinking back? Well, I want to encourage you that it's not a big moment. No, it's not an outrageous, extravagant act, because remember that Daniel's faith wasn't built in the den, and neither will yours, neither will mine. But one, the first thing is, this week, take a fresh step of everyday faithfulness. Now, what's one thing that you can commit to this week to not shrink back? What's one thing that you can commit to press into being faithful to God? One thing, something small enough that you'll still be doing it on Friday. You know, don't choose something that you'll be tired of after Monday. You know, maybe it's opening your Bible before you open your phone. Maybe it's choosing to pray on the drive to work. Maybe it's ringing that person that God's been putting on your mind. Maybe it's giving thanks out loud before you eat in your own house when nobody's watching. Whatever it is, pick it today, pick it now. Because as he had done before has to start somewhere. And today is the day that becomes the before. Today is the day that we can take a step of faithfulness toward God. And the second thing this morning is that together, as a church, as a body, let's not shrink back. You know, this season that we find ourselves in as a church, you know, it's one of growth. You know, it's one of increasing vision, of increasing mission. And together, as a church, it's going to ask endurance of us. It's going to ask perseverance of us. You know, it's not going to ask enthusiasm of us, but it's going to ask endurance from us. The willingness to keep showing up, keep believing, keep praying, even when we can't see the fruit yet. So let's believe for incredible things. You know, personally, in our lives, for the family member that's away from God, for the relationship that feels broken, for the situation that hasn't changed in years. Let's continue to believe. Let's press in faithfulness to God. And together, let's be a church that keeps stepping toward everything that God has for us. You know, not because of our strength, not because we're strong, not because of our resolve, but because God has been faithful before and He will be faithful again. You know, we're going to put this scripture on the screen, and I want us to say it together. Hebrews 10, verse 39. Let's say this together. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Let's do that again. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. You know, this isn't a description of how you're feeling this morning. It's who God says that we are. It's who God says that we are. So we're going to spend a moment in prayer, and we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to ask you if you're comfortable to turn to the person next to you, and we're going to pray briefly over each other this morning. You know, you don't need to know them well, but we're going to pray one simple thing over each other, that we'd put our confidence in God and that we would earnestly seek Him. Amen. Well, before we finish this morning, no, I've spoken about putting our confidence in God. And it's a decision and it's an opportunity that we all have the ability to make. You know, it's God's heart for all of humanity, that all would know Him, that all would put their trust in Him, and would live a life that honors and glorifies His name. But because of our wrongdoing, because of sin in the world, it separates us from God. You know, the truth is that nobody is perfect, and there's no way that we can make up for it, but God made a way. God sent His Son Jesus to earth so that we could have relationship with Him. You know, Jesus took all of the wrong things that we have done. He took our sin, and He died an innocent death on the cross for us. But He didn't stay dead. On the third day, He rose victorious. Victorious over shame, victorious over sin, victorious over condemnation, and provided us a pathway to relationship with God. Now, He did what we couldn't do. And because of what Jesus did, we can receive God's forgiveness and we can have relationship with Him. We can choose to believe in God. You know, not by our earning, by our striving, or by trying to make things right, but by simply choosing to believe in Him and asking Him for forgiveness. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And I want to give an opportunity, if there's anybody here this morning who needs to do that, who needs to call on the name of the Lord and ask for forgiveness. If you desire a relationship with God this morning, now I want to invite you to pray this prayer that we're all going to pray together. And you can have confidence today that if you do that, that if you put your faith in God, that you will have relationship with Him. So I'm going to invite the church to pray this prayer all together after me. And if you want to make that decision today, I invite you to do that with us as well. But dear God, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to make a way for me to be in relationship with You. Forgive me of the wrong things I have done. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead. I choose today to follow You. Amen. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.